T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Joining us on the line, Eagles insider for NBC Sports Philly One, Dave Zangaro. Good morning, Dave.
What's up, guys? How's it going?
We're doing all right. We're excited that football is back. The preseason is always underwhelming, but this year in particular, even more underwhelming as we've yet to see any of the starters on offense play. First and foremost, I know they haven't officially announced it, but is it safe to assume we will not see any members of the first team offense tonight?
Who? Any members? I thought you were going to ask me Carson. I mean, I don't think Carson's going to play.
Okay.
Maybe a few. I mean, if you consider Big V to be a starter at this point, they're going to see him. They're going to get him some work. But, yeah, you're not going to see a lot of these guys. And if the starters do play, it's going to be kind of a quick cameo appearance. Mm-hmm. They just don't see the value in it. They just got 2 days of work in against the Ravens in practice. And at every chance they get, they talk up those joint practices as being more valuable than games. So I think it kind of tells you which way they're headed here.
Well, the follow-up would be that a lot of Eagles fans want to know, you're going to be there tonight. You're looking for things. What is Dave Zangaro looking for in tonight's performance?
Well, I mean, last week we saw the starting defense get some work, and they looked really good. So I'd like to see that continue, especially without some of their starters. And they're hoping to get those guys back, but it's nice to see if their backups can kind of handle that load. Then you have Clayton Thorson. I want to see the rookie quarterback because he looked so good last week, and it kind of came out of nowhere. And you wonder how much of that was just he got thrown into the fire. It was kind of a sink or swim moment for him, and he performed really well. He's going to play a lot this week, so I'm interested to see if he can keep it going. If he does, he's going to put the Eagles in a tough position here where they're probably not going to want to expose him to waivers, which means you'd have to keep him on the roster. And then you're probably carrying 4 quarterbacks on a 53, which is not ideal, but I guess it's a pretty good problem to have if he performs well.
Yeah, being when you have a draft pick, and we've heard nothing but since that last preseason game how good he has looked in practice and how it looks like he's progressing very rapidly. I don't, because you have Cody Kessler. Obviously, we know that Nate Sudfeld's injured right now, and then you just signed Josh McCown. Boy, keeping 4 quarterbacks, you can't put him on the practice squad because it leaves him open for another team to pick him up. So carrying 4 quarterbacks, how is that sustainable?
It is. I mean, it takes away from another position. And the problem here is the Eagles are pretty deep. I mean, someone they cut, who's one of their final cuts, is going to find a job somewhere else. So you're basically giving up a player that can play in this league and is going to have a job in this league. But with the premium they've placed on the quarterback position, and this goes back to when they first hired Doug Peterson and kind of surrounded Carson Wentz with all the quarterback coaches that he had, they put a lot of stock into this position. So it wouldn't surprise me to see them carry 4 this year.
When it comes to Wentz now, there has been a lot of reports, and I shouldn't even say reports, a lot of eyewitnesses, and I'm sure you were included in this. Wentz is more in the pocket than ever and not, you know, jumping out of it to extend plays, at least in scrimmage form. When asked about it, he said that it wasn't a conscious effort. Do you believe him?
No. And look, it's not the plays that are off schedule. It's not the scrambling out of the pocket plays that stand out to me because, of course, in a practice where the quarterback's not allowed to get hit, there's not really a need for those plays. I found it more peculiar that Doug Peterson isn't calling those design bootlegs, those design naked rollouts that they've kind of used in the past to get Carson into rhythm. That's really, to me, what makes him a special quarterback. Mm-hmm. is his ability to not just extend plays, but to throw on the run in situations they plan for. And even at times, like dating back to his rookie year, it always seemed like a way for Doug Peterson and Frank Reich back then to kind of get Carson Wentz into a rhythm if he wasn't in one. You get him on a rollout and you let him throw on the run. For whatever reason, he's always been really good at that. Now, will that be there in the season? They're going to have it. I mean, it's not like they can't call that, but it seems like this training camp, they really wanted him to work on just throwing from the pocket. And as long as they don't abandon that other stuff when the games matter, I think that's a good thing. I think that's an area where he probably did need to get better.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, I really hope for his sake that they don't take away that other part of his game, because that, to me, is what has always made him a special player.
Yeah, and I totally agree with you. That's when we've seen those glimpses, in particular, 2017, his legs were a huge part of that. That's a huge aspect of his game that they may be consciously trying to have him avoid in order to for him to have a longer, more sustainable career. If that is the case, there's a lot of expectations for this season, Dave. Certainly doesn't appear like, although he's younger, we always think of McNabb when he went through that, but it was later on in McNabb's career where Wentz is still so young. As much as I can understand it, I just, in my opinion, doesn't seem like it's the right time considering what's at stake right here and now.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's two ways to look at it. Ultimately, this could help him become a better quarterback, because I think at times he was a little quick to get out of the pocket. I think there's an art to it, right? I mean, there's an art to knowing when to stand in the pocket, when to step up in the pocket, when to abandon it altogether. And I think he's still trying to figure that out. And then when you look at it through the lens of, well, your odds of getting hurt probably increase when you start taking off and we want to have you around for the long term. It's a tricky thing. I think there's a fine balance there. We haven't seen it in training camp, but I think that's because they've been working on this stuff in the pocket so much.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be something to watch this year. I mean, what is he going to look like? And like I said, it's not just the off-schedule plays, because you don't really expect to see that in practice. It's, to me, it's the plays they designed to get him on the move we haven't seen.
Right.
I'd like to see more of those, especially when the games matter.
One more question about the offense, in particular the running back position. Has it become more clear-cut who will not be on this team come the first week of September?
Well, I mean, it depends there about the numbers game, and that's really what this 53-man is going to come down to. How many at each position do they want to keep? And until we know how many quarterbacks they keep, it's kind of tough to figure that stuff out. I think the four we know are on the roster are Jordan Howard, Miles Sanders, Corey Clement, and Darren Sproles.
Yeah.
Now, they can decide to keep a fifth. If they keep a fifth, my gut would tell me Wendell Smallwood, because that guy just doesn't go away. And I don't think that'd be a bad option. I think he's a decent player. We kind of know what he is.
Mm-hmm.
I think he does more than a Josh Adams or a Boston Scott. So if they keep five, I think it'll be Smallwood. But if I'm them, I keep four and I roll with those top four guys I said, because I think Jordan Howard gives you enough, and I think Miles Sanders is going to be really good.
Dave Zangaro, Eagles insider for NBC Sports Philly, nice enough to join us this morning. Dave, now to the defense. There is a lot of pressure being put on Derek Barnett this season. How has he looked?
He's looked good. I mean, it's tough because he was coming off that shoulder injury and he didn't participate in team drills until later in training camp. So, you know, what I've seen has looked good, but you're right. I mean, there's a ton of pressure on him. And you can argue that he started to break out last year early in the season. He was their best defensive end. And now you have the caveat there that Brandon Graham was coming off an ankle injury and Michael Bennett hadn't really hit his stride. But the first four games of the year last season, he was easily their best defensive end. He was on pace for 10 sacks, and then he got hurt.
Right.
And then he tried to battle through it and eventually needed surgery. I think he's a solid player. Can he be a 15-sack guy? I don't know. I mean, I think that's probably asking a bit much. But I think he needs to be a 10-sack guy. These sacks have to come from somewhere. And, you know, as good as Brandon Graham has been, he hasn't been the guy to pile up sack numbers. And it's not all about sacks. The pressures matter. Playing against the run for these defensive ends, it matters. But you got to get the quarterback on the ground. And I think Derek Barnett has to do that.
Now, moving back a little bit further, another area of concern, the secondary. Let me ask you, but what's going on with Jalen Mills? He's still in a boot?
I don't think he's still in the boot, but this is an injury that's taken a long time to heal. At this point, I'd be pretty shocked if he doesn't start the season on PUP. And honestly, that's going to make their jobs a little bit easier because they're pretty crowded. Even without Cravon LeBlanc, who's still hurt, they're going to have the decision to make, because it seems like Ronald Darby will be a starter. They didn't pay him to come back here and sit on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have a decision, because you have three guys after that fighting for two spots, and all three guys, to me, deserve the chance. You have Avante Maddox, who I think is going to be the slot guy, and that leaves you with Sidney Jones or Rasul Douglas. And there's two ways to look at this. Rasul has, at every chance they've given him, shown that he can play in this league. And I think that based on his regular season play, he deserves the right to start. But then you have Sidney Jones, who's had a really good camp, to me has way more upside. He was, you know, going to be, and we've heard this a million times, probably the top corner of that draft a few years ago. And we're starting to see that potential. He's flashed, and he flashes more than Rasul Douglas. It's not an easy decision. If I had to do it right now, and it would be hard to do, I'd start Ronald Darby, Sidney Jones, and Avante Maddox, and Rasul will be my top backup. And that's tough because he really does deserve a job, but there are only so many to go around.
Yeah. Dave, just a couple more questions. Now, referring to your expertise here, has there been anybody at camp who has surprised you in a good way that maybe you weren't expecting too much, and you find yourself, you know, looking at them more and more and saying, wow, this guy's really impressed me?
Well, I don't know if he quite fits that criteria, but Miles Sanders to me is, I tempered my expectations coming into this training camp for him because he missed all of OTAs. And look, it's not like a quarterback missing all of OTAs, but a rookie missing that much time for a hamstring injury, something that kind of lingers. I was a little hesitant to praise him early on because I wanted to see if he really was going to be caught up. And at every turn, he has just impressed me more and more. We started to see it in the preseason game last week, and I was so excited about that because those have been the things I've seen a lot at training camp, and for everyone else to get to see it was pretty fun. I don't know how you keep this kid off the field. I know they have Jordan Howard here. They brought him in the trade, but to me, on day one, you got to play Miles Sanders a ton. I know they're going to rotate no matter how it goes, but he's got to play. He's their best running back, and I think we've seen that over 17 practices and two preseason games. He's their most talented runner. Situationally, I think you have to give Jordan Howard the ball, but I'm all in on Miles Sanders. I think this kid's going to be great.
Now, looking at the other side of the spectrum now, who's someone who maybe you had expectations for or just have been surprised at the how lackluster they have been at camp and now through practice?
One for me is Stefan Wisniewski. Not that I had a ton of high expectations for a backup player, but this is a guy who started in the Super Bowl a couple years ago, and now I really think he's in danger of getting cut. It's been a really strange training camp for him. To start off, they never even thought about him replacing Brandon Brooks at right guard. It's been Big V from the beginning of OTAs until now, and that kind of tells you what they think of Wiz as a power right guard. They don't think he can do it. And then in practices, I can't even count the number of bad snaps he's had as a second team center. It's gotten so bad they've taken him off second team center duty and they've given that job to an undrafted rookie just because he can't, for whatever reason, seem to snap the ball in shotgun. And it's a strange thing because this is a veteran in this league. He's played like 60 games at center, but he's really struggling right now. I wouldn't be shocked if he's not on this team.
Final question I have for you, Dave Zangaro of NBC Sports Philly. A lot of this is fan-driven. Some is just media just, you know, shooting the breeze, throwing out the idea. Jadeveon Clowney is apparently available via trade. Would you be interested if you're Howie Roseman?
Well, sure. I mean, he's a really good player, so you'd be interested. I don't know what the price would be, and I don't know at what price you could get him and it'd still be worth it because you're going to have to pay the guy. That's the whole reason he's not probably going to play in Houston again is because he wants to get paid. What would that contract look like? I'm not sure, but I think Howie at least has to be interested, right? I mean, this is a really good player, but let's be honest about Jadeveon Clowney too. It's not like he's a surefire Pro Bowl type player. He has potential. He's a really talented guy. I think part of the reason Houston is willing to part with him is because for whatever reason, whether it be injuries or drive, he has not become the player they drafted number one overall and they thought they were getting. He just hasn't become that guy.
Right.
And at this point in his career, I think it's fair to wonder if he ever becomes that guy. That doesn't mean he's not a good player, but you start to question, why has this happened in his career?
Dave, one of the things I was thinking this morning as I was driving in, I saw that the Texans lost one of their offensive tackle to a broken ankle, done for the season. I was like, well, maybe Howie could work some deals.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense on his face, right? Because even before that injury, Houston has zero tackles. They really wanted...
they need to protect their quarterback down there.
Yeah, I mean, they really wanted Andre Dillard, and the Eagles jumped up in front of them to get him, and now they're not even going to play Andre Dillard, which has to hurt Houston. Yeah, I mean, on his face, would you entertain throwing Big V in a package?
Sure. Yes, I would.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. And I understand everyone wants to do that, but I don't know if that's quite apples to apples right now. I think you'd have to
Throw some more. It was just as soon as I saw that injury, I just know Big V's name has been thrown out there, and I thought, well, this is an example of where Howie loves to take advantage of somebody who's desperate.
Right. I mean, I'd be worried too. It's the financial implications when it comes to
Ain't my
Clowney.
Money.
Yeah, kidding. I know it's not your money, but it's a salary cap.
No,
beat,
I know.
Right?
You so look at what Dallas is going through and the Eagles handle it right. You're right.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Howie at least has to be interested, right? Sure. He's a good player, but I just doubt it's going to happen. All I don't want to get people's hopes up here.
His name is Dave Zangaro, Eagles insider for NBC Sports Philly. Follow him on Twitter if you don't already, at the letter D Zangaro, NBCS Dave. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.